45.
Elon.
Brown, 45.
Hot.
You are listening to Any Given Sunday, Australia.
Yes. Hello and welcome to the Any Given Sunday Australia podcast, the number one podcast in at least three households and one studio that we are not in today, unfortunately. I know, boys, that's sad faces all around, but that's all right. We will get back in those studios one day. Another huge week, obviously, but some big signings in the Any Given Sunday family. We have also just interviewed the Vanilla Gorilla himself, Zach Nielsen. So that will be out in the next few days. We obviously had a week where we've crowned a new Super Bowl champion, which, believe it or not, we will probably speak about today. We've also had a week where you've possibly elevated a very, very injured, I'm saying, a very injured Patrick Mahomes to, I don't know he could, but possibly the next level. And those poor birds, Danny, which we will get onto, fall agonizingly short. With a QB that has, I reckon he certainly shut down any of the haters that he had with the game that he played. We will, before even we get into introductions, Danny, are you okay?
So everyone might know that I've disappeared for the week, and that was because I have not been able to get out of bed. Constant tears, face buried in the pillow, just not doing too well. But it was an incredible game, which we'll get to later. But yeah, I'm doing all right now. I've pulled myself out of bed, brushed it off. Ready to go.
Beautiful. That's all we want to hear, mate, that you're up and about and you're able to get through. That's all we want.
Absolutely, mate. I'm getting there. Getting there one day at a time. Every day we'll get slightly better.
We've also got our ever-reliable TC24 at Tim Carty AGSAU joining us. How are you, mate?
Good, Mac Daddy. How are you, brother?
I am all right. I've recovered all right from our half-decent day as well. Have you?
Yeah, mate. It was a pretty quiet one. Just a couple of... couple of quiet little beers at the pub. It was good. It was good fun.
It was. It was just nice and relaxed, and it was a good vibe at the Great Northern Hotel. But yeah, it's definitely just a nice, easy day.
Absolutely. It's such an early start. What, we were in there at 9:30, and the place was packed. Yeah, the buckets of beers going around at 9:30 in the morning. So it's good fun, but you know, it's a very early start. So yeah, come mid afternoon, you're well and truly done by that stage.
The Great Northern.
Yeah, I was pretty happy to head home when I head home.
The Great Northern always knows how to turn it on as well. So massive shout out to them.
Yeah, that was good. It was a great day. They put on a good show.
It was a good spread. Good spread. It is a bit of an awkward show. We don't quite know how we're going to fill the time, but I reckon we'll be all right. We don't have Dr. Danny's injury report because of... You know, we're probably going to go through the game and we'll speak about it then. But we are going to go through some early news. We've had some signings early this week. Danny, you've lost your OC and your DC this week, mate. What's going on there?
Yeah, I guess they both kind of used the Super Bowl as a stepping stone to get these head coaching jobs. The GMs must have already had their eyes on them. That's why nothing would have been announced, obviously, until the game was over. But I think they may have both sat... the final interview again on the Monday, like literally the day after, and then the announcements came out not too long after that. So yeah, the Eagles defensive coordinator Jonathan Gannon's hired as the Cardinals head coach, and the Colts hired the offensive coordinator Shane Steichen,
I believe.
Oh, there we go.
That's all we wanted was to you to have a crack at the name. So good job, mate.
No, yeah, Shane Steichen.
Again, just like last week, we don't even care about the actual story. We just wanted to hear you say the name.
The story's not the important part.
And as always, I fumble my way through and we get there.
We did. And it is Shane Steichen.
Steichen.
Yeah, I reckon regardless, well, obviously they lost, but regardless of how they went, they were getting these jobs. I think it came out Shane Steichen was the OC, is that right?
Yeah, correct.
So it came out that I reckon it was midweek that he's actually been calling plays for you guys since like week 5.
Yep. If you're telling me, then I'll go.
No, I believe that came out. So the fact that he was, you know, he obviously is an offensive coordinator and able to run the offense. So I think going to, sorry, where did he go again? He's not Arizona. He's the other one.
Yeah, he's gone to Colts.
Cardi, you're a big fan of these Colts and you wanted them to get them a good head coach. Is it a good hire?
Fan's an interesting choice.
Well, no, you've been all over the actual, well, probably more because Derek Carr is still yet to find a home. But
yeah, well, and they're an easy one to use in a lot of examples because they've been so shit. So a lot of people.
The Colts. Than,
yeah.
Brutal. I like it.
A lot of people could help them out, but that's like the, it's the burden of success. Like your OCs are going to get, OCs and DCs are going to get poached like we've seen with Philly. So it's a bit of like the double-edged sword of success. They have standout year like they have, and then all of a sudden, yeah, you've lost your defensive and offensive coordinators to other head coaching roles. But yeah, I think he'll be a good hire for the Colts. They probably needed an offensive, more offensive-minded head coach for their lineup, sort out their issues on the O-line. Like they've got a lot of names there, but not necessarily anyone performing that well. So yeah, Jeff Saturday, sort of, and man, we talked about him a bit. He didn't get the gig, but he, I think I saw he put out a nice, like a good video saying, you know, thank
sitting
you.
Sitting on the lake somewhere.
Yeah, he's out on, was he on a boat or something? I don't know what it was, but yeah, what, you know, just said, thanks, still a bit massive Colts man, Colts fan, all that sort of stuff. I'll still be around. So he's left on good terms. But yeah, obviously they just wanted someone with a bit more of that experience in the end. Like they needed someone that could get through those 18-hour interviews.
Yeah, yeah. Only two 18 hours. Yeah, but did you say, Danny, that they had interviews the next day?
Yeah, I was reading, I think ESPN put it up.
I heard that as well, yeah.
Yeah, they had interviews on the Monday. So, like, you know, they've only just, whether it was a win or loss, they would have only just been recovering. Those interviews would have been well and truly booked in, only just recovering from it, and then have to sit, yeah, another interview. It's pretty full on.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I guess where you want to go, that's the kind of stuff you got to do, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And then they're both wanting those head coaching jobs, and to get them, well, you got to sit the interview the next day.
Yeah, yeah. I've fumbled my way through the first, 8 minutes that we've been going, but I've fixed all the technical stuff that I was worried about, so my head is in the game now. I do have a question without notice regarding to the Colts. Either of you can jump in. It's up to you. But what do you reckon they do with Matt Ryan? He still come out and said that he's got some good football behind him, but obviously last year did not go the way they want. Are they chasing a real fresh QB, like in the draft kind of fresh? Because I reckon they got 4 or 5 in the draft, pick 4 or 5. Or do they, you know, I'm not even going to say Aaron Rodgers because he's not. He's staying at my boys. Do they go for a Derek Carr or someone like that?
I think with the new head coach, go to the draft. Draft a fresh quarterback. Start afresh. They've gone the veteran quarterback approach the last couple of times. It hasn't worked out for them. I'm not sure if...
Couple? 7?
Yeah. Well, trying to fill the hole since Peyton, and since they lost, is it Andrew Luck?
Yeah.
Yeah, to injury. He was looking like he was the next one, but injuries just took their toll and he had to retire. But yeah, I think just go to the draft. You've got a new coach, new draft, like a new prospect from the draft quarterback. They can sort of build it from there. Take your medicine for the next year or two. Build it up, build the culture and everything around these two new guys and go from there.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Like, they've got to almost hit the reset button and stick with this new coach, get a new QB, get some reps under the belt, and slowly build their way back up to where they want to be.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I couldn't. Look, there. I think that there is a case that they are in. They were the third or fourth favorite to go to the Super Bowl out of the AFC side this year.
At the start of the year. Yeah, just based off their roster, wasn't it?
Off the team. Yeah. So, and they've still got a pretty, you know, a very good side. You know, a fit Jonathan Taylor. You know, Pittman's only young. You know, so on the offensive side of the ball, they are, and they apparently, before this year, had the best O-line going around. Like, whether that's going to carry on to next year after the year that they had. But I reckon there is a case to say, you know, go chase, well, another veteran, like you said, Karts. And see if they can't put a good season together and make a run at the playoffs.
It'll look like a big failure if they don't, though.
And then whose head rolls? Is it the brand new coach that they've just hired? Like, someone's going to be to blame, and normally that falls on the head coach. They really want to go through another head coach? Is it worth the risk? Or do you want to build up some continuity and, like, push forward?
Do you think if they go with a young QB then and they're given, like, a year of grace?
Yeah, and as a, like, having an offensive-minded coach, he might be able to help having a new young QB. You know, he might be able to guide him in the right direction. And then, yeah, 100% you should get a year's grace, especially if you've got a brand new QB.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. That was just a question in my mind. But the next one, it probably leads into the next question, which is straight at you, Cardi. The Raiders have released Derek Carr just literally hours before he's due his $40 million.
They did.
What's going on there?
So they released him because he was enacting, I guess is the right word, is no trade clause, because he had the meeting with the Saints and they were wanting to, I think it was they were wanting to essentially a massive pay cut for Carr. And so he was able to enact his no trade clause, and then the Raiders essentially had to cut him before the deadline. So then they weren't up for his 40 mil contract that he still had. He would have got, was it 35 or something guaranteed this year or next? I'm not sure, but he was still up for 40 mil with the Raiders if they didn't cut him before the deadline. So they've cut him. So he's gone into free agency. So they sort of reckon he definitely won't get anywhere near that 40 million mark. Now he's out on the sort of the free agent market, but he will definitely find a home somewhere. It's just a matter of, you know, where he's going to go and what price are they going to pay. But yeah, he'll definitely find a home somewhere with the number of teams that are in the QB market, the Jets and all those sorts of teams. But so the Raiders, I think it was like a $5 million hit that they take that they have to pay him for cutting him early, but then it saves them $25 million in cap space and stuff like that.
Yeah, so I've got it here. So he was guaranteed 32.9 this year.
Yep.
Plus 7.5 of next year's contract. So that will take him up to the 40.
Yeah.
But by cutting him before this date, they only have to pay him 5.6 and it frees up 29.3.
Yeah, there you go.
So for those business who decision, don't quite have it. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, they obviously don't see what Carr's done, and like it just says here, he's gone 63-79 over his career, and he's taken two of those teams to the playoffs, but didn't get a win
without a playoff win. Yeah,
yeah, that makes it hard.
Yeah, and Carr's manager tweeted out that, you know, there's no ill feeling and all that sort of stuff. Like, they understand it's business, and like that's what it is. So there's no ill will or anything from Carr about the way that it's gone down. That's just how the business works, I guess.
Yeah, they obviously don't see their, you know, the writing was on the wall that he's not quite our man going forward. We're going to either go to the draft or go find
someone else, another team who's in the quarterback market.
Yeah, that's it. Just like the Jets that you were on.
Jets definitely need a quarterback.
So with his remaining money that he's now been cut for me and for everyone else listening, what does that mean for him going forward for his like next contract? Is he just signed a brand new contract? Is his previous contract like just null and void now?
Yeah. So he's a free agent now. So
he is uncontracted.
Apparently, so he walks away with 5.6 million, you know, poor bastard. But yeah, so he's now able to negotiate he might get more money.
So do you think he's going to sign another deal, let's say like another $32 or $33 million deal, so it ends up close to that $38, $40 million mark? You think a team's going to sign him for that?
Yeah, I think he commands that kind of money, especially with the way the QB market is going. Like, next year was going to be $41 million for him. So I wouldn't be surprised if it was a one-year deal though, and we'll just see what happens. And halfway through the year, if he's going really well, which he does seem to start off very well every year and then falls away at the back end, which I'm sure that's something either he or the Raiders have to, you know, get their head around. But, you know, halfway during the year, they might be able to say, all right, we're going to re-sign him to a five. If he's going well, 5 years, you know, 100 and whatever million. But, yeah, I reckon he can go in and definitely command at least 30.
I think he's a chance to get a bit less, I reckon. Just not quite that same money, but a bit less.
But you're going to take less for a better environment, aren't you?
Yeah, for sure. Well, any environment.
Yeah.
An environment.
A contract. Take less for a contract.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could you see him sitting behind someone?
Nah.
Like maybe we'll say the Colts go to the draft and actually pick somebody up and then bring him in as the backup.
Nah, I don't think he wants to be a star.
Well, you wouldn't if you got Matt Ryan, you were going to keep him, but that was just an example.
Yeah, I don't think so. Like, do you remember his message that he released when it sort of became clear that he wasn't going to be at the Raiders? At the very end, he talked about that fire still burns to go win a championship, all that sort of stuff. So I don't think he wants to be...
He's not a backup
yet. I don't think he wants to be benched. He still wants to be a starter, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it might come to a point that he doesn't have a choice.
Yeah, it could be, but I think he'd be pushing pretty hard to avoid that.
And like you said, the QB market's really hot at the moment, so I feel like he will have a slight choice.
I feel like he'll find a home.
That'll be definitely something that we'll be across over the next few weeks anyway. So, the new, technically new Jags wide receiver, Calvin Ridley, is applying for reinstatement. Which one of you boys are over this one?
I got a little bit on it. So Ridley hasn't played a game in the NFL since October 24, 2021, when he was away from the team and he placed, I think it was like $1,500 worth of bets, like different multis.
Not on his game, wasn't it? It was on other games.
I think his team, he was involved, but he was away.
But he wasn't playing.
He was on IR. So, and they say if you're on IR, you're not in the team meetings. You don't. This was his argument. I wasn't in any team meetings. I didn't know anything. But he bet on his team to win.
Like, so. I think obviously he can't, have any influence because he's not around the team. But I think it's more about the NFL sending a message. Because online gambling and things like that, it's becoming bigger as it becomes legal in more states in the US. I think they had to send a message and be like, no, we can't let this be a thing. Like, we have to nip it in the bud early. Anyone that...
It's black and white. It can't be anyone
that's tough up.
Like, I didn't have anything to do with the team.
Because he's just eligible to apply for reinstatement, isn't that right? Like, he's not even, it was an indefinite ban. Like, it wasn't even a time limit on it.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was under the opinion that the 12 months would be enough, though.
More than likely. But just the fact that it wasn't a clear-cut 12-month ban. It was an indefinite ban.
Okay. Yeah, and the Jags front office are pretty confident that this ban will be lifted and he will be reinstated.
Yeah.
That'd be huge for them, though. Another weapon for Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, well, bloody oath.
Well, if he plays similar to what he did in 2020, he went 90 catches for 1,374 yards and 9 touchdowns. Like, the Jags, if they have that...
It's all right, I guess.
If the Jags add that, like, it's just another weapon that they're going to have a very, very strong offense if he comes back and also plays to the same level that he was in 2020.
He's going to be fresh.
He'll be hungry too.
Yeah, you have a chip on your shoulder. You want to prove that, you're taken away from the game, but you still belong.
Feel like you're making up for lost time a bit. I reckon, he'll be real hungry. And just seeing how well the team did this year, like, he'd be pretty motivated.
Hmm. Yeah. He's early comeback of the year.
Does that count, you reckon?
Surely.
Well, you better
come back from the bench. You can come back from the bench and win comeback of the year.
Yeah, but I wonder if they'll want that storyline, someone coming off a suspension.
Because it will always be argued that they should have never lifted the ban. There will always be people on that side arguing that point. So if then you're adding that into it, it's a tough conversation for the NFL to have to answer for.
Yeah. Quickly, before talking about the honours, so Offensive Rookie of the Year, Wilson won it, yeah?
Garrett, yep. Yeah. Because it was both from the Jets.
Yeah, that's right. So Kenneth Walker had the most votes with 19 or something, and then Wilson had 18 but still took out the award. Do you know how that works? Did you see that?
I didn't. Are you calling something
No, I was just wondering, is there a thing that, like, if you have... So maybe... Maybe Walker had like enough.
Is that total votes though? Because I think they vote first, like second, third, fourth, gives
preference
fifth.
So then therefore, is that like, how that works? Like, he was voted for more times, whereas Walker might have only been
lower votes.
He was voted Well, more number one votes.
Yeah.
Okay. So total votes, Kenneth had more. There you go.
I think it was 19 to 18.
Yeah. Right. Because I did see in the MVP, the trainer that worked on Damar Hamlin got a vote.
What? How does that even affect? Yeah.
Well, I think obviously there was only a. I don't know if it's one to five or one to three.
The AP vote on it, don't they?
Yeah. I don't know if it's 1 to 5 or 1 to 3 or however it is, but they gave it the lowest. They voted for the lowest. Oh, well, they obviously let it through because he got a vote.
That's hilarious.
It's a nice recognition, but.
And a recognition he deserves, but yeah, it was probably a media
vote. It feels a little bit gimmicky. Like.
Yeah. Imagine he won. Imagine everyone went, we'll give a gimmicky one.
Am I doing the vote for the trainer? Oh, shit, I better put it in. Everyone does it.
Yeah, Goodell sent out the email, but I don't know who it was to.
Goodell.
Roger Goodell. He was everywhere this week, obviously. But
he was sitting next to Mama Kelsey at the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of, another question without notice. Did you see the video of Mama Kelsey getting to both the boys? At the end of the game.
At the end of, yeah.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
That was a huge moment.
I think I just saw it with Travis.
Yeah, mate, if you get a chance.
Winners I've only. Got,
yeah.
You're not I've got
so much, so much more respect. Not that I didn't have respect for him, but Jason Kelsey, the way he handled himself, he's your man, Danny. You can talk about it, but God, he raised the bar for me.
Yeah, and have you heard the chat on the New Heights yet? Like where they're speaking to one another.
Where they were crying about
Yeah, they're both like, he just starts talking, like tears are all welling and he like gets choked up, can't get his words out. And then Travis hits him back and he's choked up too. It was such a beautiful moment. It was such an incredible family moment. And
And all they were talking about is how good it was for mum. Like that week, mum had a great week.
Yeah, they're just so proud. So happy to make their mum that proud, which is an incredible thing for their family.
It's pretty nice.
But yeah, at the end of the game, so not to ruin it for you, Katz, but found, I don't know if she found Travis first. In the video I watched, she went to Travis first and then found Jason. He's like, oh, you know, love your mummy. He's like, nah. He goes, go celebrate with Travis. It's his day now, not mine, and walked away. And I was like, oh, just the way he handled himself. It was so, not about me. It's obviously about them now. Go.
Yeah, it's pretty classy. In that moment, to think of that and do that.
When you'd be absolutely devastated, you've just lost. But
No,
that definitely ticks some boxes for me.
I'll be trolling.
All right, our last.
Trolling the socials to find that.
ESPN, they're all over it. The last, and actually, NFL are all over. NFL Australia.
Hey, shout out.
Shout out. Sponsor us. our last story, which we spoke about this, might have been back in the preseason, me and you, Karts. The Bears have purchased, officially gone through the 326-acre lot in Arlington Park. So, looks like Soldier Field's going to be got its back up against the wall to keep the Bears.
Yeah, well, you got to think if they've purchased it, very minimum, they're going to be building a training facility or something out there. So Soldier Field is looking, on shaky ground.
Yeah,
when we talked about this, Danny, I'm not sure if you across it.
You're
right. I was just going to say the city of Chicago, obviously want them to stay at Soldier Field, and so they. Did they put forward proposals to renovate and develop Soldier Field and that sort
of
thing?
The new roof and stuff.
Yeah, new roof. That's right. We had the artist impressions and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So they obviously want them to stay in there because it's a bit of a hike out of the city.
I think they said, wasn't it like 40 minutes?
I think it's 40 odd minutes.
It could take 2 hours with traffic.
If traffic, screwed, but... Yeah, sorry, go ahead, Danny.
Yeah, so like you were saying, like obviously they're going to build something there. When they're paying $197 million, they're going to obviously have to build something. But yeah, they've come out and said that it doesn't mean it's guaranteed that there's going to be a stadium there.
There could still be a lot of stuff going on behind closed doors, like a lot of negotiating and that sort of stuff. But yeah, when you're forking up that kind of money. So it's an old, it used to be a racetrack.
I thought Arlington Park Racetrack was like famous.
I'm not sure. Maybe in your mind.
Yeah. I remember hearing and I thought, yeah, that's right.
It's an old racetrack. So it's a big facility. Or like,
yeah, well, 326 acres is
a lot of land, yeah,
relatively large. But everyone wants the Jerry World now. They want that, you know, we can build hotels and make money off that.
We
can
build, like we do, yeah. We've got
and
everything.
We can make, because do you remember when during the COVID and the COVID? During,
I remember the COVID.
The COVID.
Oh, the COVID.
And if a team had to pull out, right, you had to pay both teams like earnings for the weekend, average earnings or whatever.
Team if it was your team's fault.
And like most teams would be like, you know, 60 million or something like that. And Jerry's World was like, no, no, no. We lose like, it was something like 400 and something million for a week, like just for one game, just because it's all about they own every shop. They own every
bars, restaurants, hotels,
everything, everything in that, you know,
parking,
326
like
acres.
Yeah. Everything, yeah.
So every owner is going, I want a piece of
that. I want this. I want this.
So I cannot see Soldier Field staying. It'll be there. It might be just a rock concert place now, but
a rock concert place.
Just purely rock concerts.
They're actually, in the article, they're talking about building a concert facility as well in that part of that 326 acre.
As a new facility.
The new facility, so
they're taking everything.
They're taking everything. Yeah, they want to build.
But it makes sense because, you know, the NFL season's only 17 games or whatever and you play half your games at home. Or so. But anyway, it's a short season. So if you can use it for the rest of the year and get some money, you know, return on investment, why not? Very smart.
Maybe they keep the racetrack.
Oh. Build a little airport nearby, maybe.
Oh. All of the news. How good is this? That is our news done. Well done, boys. Let's get on to the event that we probably should talk about. Super Bowl LVII. Is that what it was?
37, whatever that is. Yeah, LVII. Yeah,
definitely wasn't 37.
Wasn't it?
We had 57. Not, 57.
57. Yeah, there's a 7 in there.
Anyway. So are you all right, Danny? Like it was we obviously weren't with you. You had some family commitments that you had to attend to. So how did you find the day first off? How did you get to watch it? And yeah, just fill us in. How was your day?
Yeah, so I had a great day and we were sitting back watching and as the day started, first thing I did was jump on and start texting you boys. I was like, how good was that opening drive? Then the Chiefs score, I was like, oh no, and like constantly going back and forth and yeah, the day was like full of excitement. It was, what was it, the third highest scoring Super Bowl. So it was just like nonstop action. But yeah, as far as Eagles going down and the way that it happened, probably wasn't necessarily ideal for me or any other Eagles fan, which I'm sure we'll get to when we have a little bit more of a deep dive. But after having like the week to digest, like I'm all right. I feel like Philly are going to be still in quite a strong position. I know we just lost our OC and DC, but moving forward, I still think we, especially with everything that Jalen Hurts did, which I'm going to go into a little bit later, but everything that Jalen Hurts did, it's just like, it's going to be very promising for Philly moving forward.
Do you, I stumbled my way through it, but do you feel like he shut down a lot of haters? Jalen Hurts?
Yeah, for everyone who said like he hadn't really played against the top tier team all year, and he goes out and I'll hit you with some of the stuff. That he did. So he set a Super Bowl record for rushing for 70 yards, tied the record for rushing 3 touchdowns, but then also threw for 304 yards and threw for a touchdown as well. Like, if that doesn't shut down against the like one of the best teams in the league and a team that they're starting to call a dynasty, like, if he goes out and does that against them, how does he not shut down the haters?
Yeah. No, 100%. He definitely had... So... I felt that the Chiefs had a lot of question marks unduly. I think I was very vocal about the fact that I don't think that they need these question marks, but I think he had a lot of question marks against how he would go, like you said. And, yeah, I definitely did. I had him for under 225 yards, so he blew me out of the water pretty quickly.
When he has two 45-yard bombs, one to AJ Brown and one to Devontae Smith, like the two wide receivers we said to keep an eye out on, and he hits them both separately two separate times, one, I think the AJ Brown one actually was went to a touchdown. Devontae Smith led to an eventual touchdown, but it was like caught at like the 5 yard.
Jeez, I know the one you're talking about. He bloody should have scored. I don't know why he went out.
Yeah, he was like he was stumbling, and he just kind of like momentum.
You were calling momentum live, and I said no way. Just fucking stick your arm out.
The way his footwork was, and the way his body weight was going, there's no way he was staying in.
I reckon if it wasn't slippery turf, he's fine.
That field. Oh, yeah, I'm sure we'll get to that as well. But, yeah, so if it wasn't for Jalen Hurts's, like, in the first half where he had that rare non-contact fumble, which led to a 36-yard touchdown from, I think it was Nick Bolton who picked it up. If he didn't have that, then we're probably talking about a different result. So as well as he did, having that fumble probably cost him as well, because the momentum did definitely swing in the second half.
Oh, yeah. And so Danny and I spoke about this earlier, Cardi, but it'd be good to get your – actually, it was actually off air, but it'd be good to get your opinion. Do you think – so at halftime, obviously it's a longer halftime. So I've always heard Peyton Manning say, yeah, it's bullshit when you hear people say, oh, you know, when you make halftime changes, he goes, as a quarterback, you go in, you go to the toilet, you have, you know, a banana or some food, you have a drink. You see the coach for 10 seconds and you're back on the field. Like, there's no time to go in there and go, oh, they're doing this, they're changing this. He goes, it's bullshit. But being a 25-30 minute halftime, they're going to have the chance to, you know, Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, to sit down and go, look, I know you're all banged up because he had that slight ankle twinge just before halftime where he was screaming on the bench. But that halftime, do you think they've actually gone in there and made all the changes in the world? Because they were, what, 10 down, were they? They just missed a kick. I remember.
10 down.
And then come out and it was a different game in the second half.
Yeah, for sure. I think you're right. I think they do at halftime with their extra break. But I think you remember too, in the second quarter, they kept him on the bench. The Eagles offense was out on the field for most of that second quarter. Mahomes barely got a look in. So there's a lot of time and opportunity to look at things that aren't working and what they're doing a bit there as well. So yeah, I think definitely with the extended like halftime show, longer break, you could look at a bit more stuff. There's a bit more time to get a jab into those ankles or whatever as well and get them feeling cherry ripe.
While watching film as well, you're getting jabs in the ankle while you've got an iPad in front of you being like, they're doing this and this and this. And that's happening. That's not happening for Mahomes. That's happening for the defensive line who are allowing Philly to hold a possession. I think Philly had, what was it, over 35 minutes possession for the whole game. It was a bit different in the second half. They obviously hogged the ball in the first, and it's probably why the Chiefs managed to come back in the second half. But still, having that much possession for a Super Bowl is ridiculous. So, like, even Mahomes would have been looking at film at halftime. The defensive line would have been looking at film at halftime. Like, all right, how can we stop this and how can we flip the game on its head? And Reid obviously, like, made the adjustments that they need to completely shift the momentum into the Chiefs' favour.
Yeah, when you're mad if you don't, you've got extra time. You're mad if you don't use it. Make adjustments. Yeah. It's not working. We're 10 down.
Yeah.
What can we change here?
And Philly went out obviously doing so well in the first half, and they came out and only scored 10 points for the whole second half. Like, that's not going to be enough. That's not going to be enough going up against Mahomes' offense ever.
That's right.
I reckon we called it live that they were trying to rush the ball a little bit more, but Miles Sanders just was nowhere. What happened to him?
So I reckon the Chiefs came out and planned for this, and like knowing that Philly had such a strong running game the previous game that they played. So I reckon they would have come out being like, right, we're going to stop this. We can't let this happen, because if this happens, we're going to lose. And they did.
Yeah, I feel like most teams would be going, this is our contingency plan. But you're right, they did. It was basically opposite of what most people said. They were going to, the Philly was going to come out, Jalen Hurts, slightly dodgy shoulder. They're not going to, no, it's like,
I didn't even mean that. That was awesome.
for those that are watching,
we just had a perfectly synchronized tip out of the mugs there. That was great.
Yes, everyone on YouTube will enjoy that little 2 seconds. That was nice.
I thought it was a glitch.
No, I've forgotten what I was talking about. But
you're talking about how.
Oh, so everyone thought that Philly was going to come out just, you know, smash mouth football, run the ball down their throat. Really hold back the defensive side of the ball. You know, for two teams that had, what, 125 sacks, 135 sacks between them, to only have 2 sacks for the game.
Sack record, they were.
Yeah. and didn't get one. And I reckon they knew about it because they were very chirpy about it afterwards. Orlando Brown.
What did he say? Put on a fucking T-shirt.
And he did.
He got a,
he
got a T-shirt made up for the parade. It's a zero sack.
So good.
And everyone come out. And I think, Carter, you were probably one of the only ones that said that his ankle's feeling good. I reckon Mahomes is going to sling it. You were joining the chorus of people who are saying he's going to do it. And Pacheco had a massive game as well. McKinnon had a few rushes in there.
Yeah,
McKinnon
got a few in there.
It was a completely opposite to what everyone thought it was going to be. And, yeah, the fact that Yalen threw for over 300 in a Super Bowl is incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. It is incredible. But like what you're saying with Pacheco, like as a rookie, he was such a beast.
Seventh rounder.
Yeah, and he had 76 yards on 15 carries. And every time he did it, I think, I've lost the stat off the top of my head, but I think 50 of those yards he'd been like touched beforehand as well. Okay. So he was like, he was ducking and weaving and dodging and actually getting
broken through tackles.
And I was watching it. I was like, how can he be angry at this? Like as a fan of the sport, it's like, how can he be angry at this when he's running so well? Like there's the NFL fan in me and the Philly fan in me, like they'll fight one another.
That was one good thing. I was happy to sit back, which I have the last, obviously, few years, to just enjoy the game as I guess we are kind of analysts now. We have to actually look and watch and we have to give an opinion. So it was good to actually just sit back and enjoy the game for what it was and not have to be a fan that was watching at the same time.
Well, yeah. We did get the score fest part right.
We did.
Yeah.
We did.
Yeah, that's why I had to sit back and watch it a second time. At least the second half anyway, I had to sit back and watch the second time to be like, you know what, you need to digest this, not as a fan and not get upset. So you can talk about it with a clear head.
Hey, that's big of you.
And still was a fan and still got upset.
Yeah. I was watching it from bed. I couldn't get out of bed. I was like, as I'm sobbing, watching the game.
All right, I've got a few big moments in the game or big things part of the game I want to throw to you boys and just get your opinion. The first one we did just mention before, $800,000 and 2 years to get this turf or grass ready for it to pretty much everyone's come out and said that it was a fail. What happened there?
So that was like an unbelievable fail because you saw players were changing their cleats, they were changing their boots, they were doing
everything. How often did they go to the photo, like the video of the cleats and then up to the ground?
Yeah. And then like
every 5 minutes.
And did you see Philly's punter Elliott? Like when he went down, he like slipped, then rolled his ankle, and then still managed to kick an absolute bomb. Like good on him.
Absolute bomb.
But like you can't have a Super Bowl field that's responding like that. That is like an absolute complete fail. And they spent 800 grand. Everyone was talking like, oh yeah, they spent 800 grand, it's gonna be like phenomenal. Like, they've been growing it for 2 years, all this sort of stuff. It was going to be the best field ever. Their original field that they, like the Cardinals field, would have been better.
Well, what was wrong with that?
I don't understand why.
But this, yeah, just looked like really shallow grass. Every time anyone was trying to put their feet down, even on like Jalen Hurts' last final pass, you know, he had the ball for 6 seconds.
He slipped.
I gave him a lot of grief about his shoulder, but back and watch, he was no chance of bombing that any further than what he did because it was he just had no
you got no grip.
Grip. Nah.
So yeah, when the field's just literally falling apart underneath your feet, how are you supposed to play like a fair and even game? Because it was happening to some players, but not to all, and then like everyone changed their cleats and stuff like that. But it's just not an ideal way to be playing a Super Bowl.
Yeah, my opinion is both teams had to play on it, so it does like it's kind of level there, but it shouldn't be on the marquee showpiece game. It shouldn't be even if you talk about it, like because it shouldn't be an issue.
And it became such a massive talking point.
Exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm agreeing there. Like both teams have to play on it, so both teams, you know, have to deal with it. So it's not an excuse either way, but it shouldn't be a talking point. Halftime show. Thoughts?
Yeah, it's good. I liked it.
No, so two things. We're going to talk about our exotics, and these are some of them. First song, Cardi, we got that wrong.
We were well off. Yeah, what was it? Bitch Better Have My Money. I was on Run This Town.
Yeah, no, I was going for a classic, and it didn't happen. Neither have I never would have thought that. I don't know what, even know what that was paying. Do you, Cards?
It was 13s.
Yeah,
13s in the morning of. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
And no special guests is also another huge.
That was surprising.
I think part of that would have been like, this was her first concert in 5 years. She wanted to put on the show. It's elite having a female artist do the Super Bowl halftime. So let's just keep it exactly as it is and let her like,
yeah,
run her own show.
I've got no issue with it. And like, I reckon the story that's come out, or like, you know, the narrative around it now that, you know, it's her first performance back in 5 years. She was pregnant. She dominated. And like, you know, like she's a female, all that sort of stuff. I reckon it's an awesome story. So I think she killed it. So I think it's probably, yeah, good that she didn't have any guests, and like it was all about her.
Yeah, and even to the point where she stopped to put on her own makeup, she's like, this is the best opportunity to have the biggest.
Oh, yeah, the little
yeah, well, because that's now where she's making the majority of her money is from this brand. So self-made, she's like,
billionaire, mate.
Yeah, so why not use that time, that little ad space? She's like, everyone's watching.
So that, I'm presuming she must, was it her makeup brand or something?
He's
like
got
that?
A makeup company.
Yeah, or, you know, 800% it went up overnight on the stock market.
It's unbelievable. So what she did work. Good on it.
Fucking have it work. And that's, because they have to, I'm not sure if it'll change in the future or anything, but the Super Bowl, they don't get paid. So she didn't get paid to be there.
Is it like...
Not from the NFL anyway.
No, is she... She's not paying for the privilege to do it, but yeah, she's not getting paid by the NFL, is she?
So it's changed in the because it kind of went downhill last few years. Last year obviously was incredible, and I reckon last year was the first year because Jay-Z, pretty sure it's Jay-Z, actually now works with the NFL.
Yep. Yeah, it is.
He does.
And to help select the halftime performers. But so it used to be, there'd be a group of five performers. You all give us your pitch and we'll let you know. Now it's, all right, let's go to Beyonce and let's see what she's doing and let's, you know, pitch to her what we think. She can talk. We'll let her know then and there. Not, you know, let's have five or six people actually audition for this thing. So it is, they don't get paid for it. I imagine some of them will definitely tip their own money in to, because it's like you said, it's their brand. It's making them look better. But
they want it to run and that sort of thing.
Yeah, but they don't get paid for it, which I found a little bit odd.
But considering like what she's millions. What she's gonna benefit in, yeah, makeup, streams, everything like that, or her whole brand, it's worth.
And that's how they pitch it, I'd imagine.
You don't need to get paid. Like it's gonna be worth her on the back end.
You're getting paid back end somehow. Yeah. Next question: our Aussie boys. First off, Mayalata. They obviously did an incredible job. It's gone down as two sacks, but I reckon one of them was a very. Very generous sack calling.
Wasn't that the one you're talking about? The one where he's like kind of running out of bounds and he like had two fingers on him.
Yeah, it was very, very generous calling it a sack. But they obviously played an incredible game, and he did his stocks, you know, no disservice. He played pretty well. But poor Aaron Sipos had a couple of punts. First one was an absolute monster. Second one, not so much. What are your thoughts on how our Aussie boys went?
The unfortunate part about like the second one. That was when Tony had his incredible 65-yard return.
Yeah.
And then, like, you can even see Sipos as he, like, goes to, like, push him. He, like, kind of, like, stumbles and falls. And then, like, all the Philly players just kind of, like, domino after that. So that was very, very unfortunate for him. But, yeah, big shout-out to Mailata. He's done absolutely everything you possibly could to keep Hurts untouched. And, like we said, for the most part, he was.
Timothy?
Yeah, feel bad for Sipos. That punt it was almost like a turning point. Hey, like when Tony did that return, we're just like, oh shit, like this is trouble.
Yeah. And the whole pub just went, oh.
Yeah, it was. It was like everyone was like, no, that's our boy. But first one was a bomb, and then that one, it just like, I don't know if it came off the side of the boot or whatever, but I saw a good breakdown of it and it was interesting to hear. But like, and who's meant to go where in like a punt return and like what do they call the punting team? Sorry. Who's meant to go where and things like that. Everyone was moving to like, say the left side of the field, and the punt ended off going to the right side of the field. So that was just like perfectly opened up for Tony in that he faked down to the left and then just cut back to the right. And he's got the whole wall of the return team blocking for him. That's how he was able to get in the end. It was Sipos that made the tackle on him in the end.
But
feel bad for him. Like one punt that comes off, and is like, you know, cops a bit of the narrative of like that was one of the turning points. So definitely feel bad for him. But yeah, Mailata, definitely stood up strong, and yeah, he had a really serviceable game.
I think from what I heard, that the punt wasn't even like it only went 35 yards. It still flipped the field. It was still on over the other side of halfway. So it wasn't even it was a bad punt. It was just everything was against it. You know, like you said, the whole team, all the runners and the gunners and that on the outside were going to the other side. And it just
and they had to shift late when they realized where Tony was. It was like,
yeah, the only one who would have known where it went was Tony. So, and he's come out and said, well, and straight after himself, the game,
obviously would have been able to watch it and be like, oh no.
Yeah. Ah, right, right. This ain't good.
Yeah.
But it just worked out perfectly for. Yeah.
Makes a big difference.
Very stiff.
It's also hard for Sipos, like, this being his first game back since, what was it, week 16?
Yeah, true.
So, how nervous would you be? Like,
that didn't really get talked about.
No, St Kilda Saints got shouted out a couple of times.
Yeah, Nick Riewoldt was there doing a fair bit of stuff with him pregame.
Yeah, so that was huge. But yeah, I feel for him. Like, you've been your first game back after so long, so much pressure. You're on the biggest stage. And then, yeah, so that would be, you would have been so much in your own head before anyone even said anything. And then to have this happen, it's very unfortunate. So, definitely feeling for him.
I think the big thing that we got to take out of it is they didn't get put behind by that said play. It was only a draw. So it wasn't like, you know. It
wasn't a nail in the coffin.
No, that's right. Like, you can't say that the whole Super Bowl came down to one play, which leads me to the next one, the last flag of the day, which was the first defensive hold for the day. Danny, hold your horses. Timmy, what are your thoughts?
I don't like it. Like I said, first one for the day. It's a minute 30, minute 40 to go. Field position and like the situation of the game. Don't like it at all. Don't like it being called. If it hasn't been called all day, no one's going to be upset if it doesn't get called. And then obviously you look at the reaction and look at the stories around it that now it has been called. And then a lot of people come out and like technically to the letter of the law, he did have his hands around his hips. And, you know, it was a hole. But
even he said it.
Yeah, and even, yeah, he said it, and like, but the fact that Juju didn't react sort of makes you think, yeah, that's probably been happening all game. And so he's sort of just been like, oh, well, it's just another one. It's not going to get called. So that was a big thing for mine. But yeah, I just don't like to see it. And, you know, it could have been a totally different thing. They kick a, because what was the situation? It was
third down.
So if they don't get that. Yeah, it would have been fourth. They would kick, and they still would have had a minute or so.
Yeah, it gives the Eagles 55. A lot more time to go down and either go for the touchdown or, you know, get the field goal. Let's go into overtime. Let's keep this amazing Super Bowl show running, but not to be.
And that's the thing that I hated the most about. There's a few things I completely disagreed with it. But the thing I disliked the most was, like, this has been such an incredible game, such a high-scoring game. Like, let it be decided on the field. Don't let the umpires decide how the game's going to go. And that's essentially what happened. So because of that, everyone knows like how the last 2 minutes unfolded with like the getting so close to the end and then like, you know, taking a couple of knees, taking all the time off the clock. So the game wasn't actually like, give the Chiefs an opportunity to stop Philly. Because at that point, the Chiefs were stopping Philly. Like, they'll be
even, like you said, 10 points in the second half.
Exactly. So they were stopping him anyway. Let them stop him. Like, I'm saying for the refs here, let them stop them on the field and let the game just be decided on the field. And then, like, if Chiefs had won that way, like, Philly fans everywhere have got nothing to say about it because that's the way the game was decided.
It's not even a narrative.
Yeah, so there won't be a narrative. And the second thing that I didn't like about it was the fact that Mahomes, like, the flag wasn't thrown until Mahomes was pointing.
What do you reckon?
It was a late.
Blame him, though?
Not at all. I'm not blaming him. I'm blaming the refs.
Yeah.
And, like, exactly what Katz was saying. If you're going to call it all day. And if you're going to swallow your whistle all day, don't blow it at the last 2 minutes to decide the game. So that was all the parts that upset
Unless it's blatantly obvious. Like, but that was so.
That wasn't. That was pretty ticky touch. Like, that was.
Yeah,
pretty...
100%.
And the thing that actually really annoyed me. On the replay, they kept pausing it when his hand.
Yeah. Oh God, you should have said, "Stop freezing it there."
Obviously, when you do it, well, because it makes it look 10 times worse when you have a freeze frame and your hands on it. Just like play it out, but every replay just had the pause of the hand on the hip.
And how much like slow mo? I reckon we spoke about it. Gene Steratore, who's notably is one of the better refs ever. He was the one. If you can't see it in real time, don't call it in like slow. Don't slow it down more than. He was going frames a second, I reckon. But like the fact that they literally paused it when he just had that little bit of a tug of course it's going to make it 100 times worse. And I think that leans a lot into the conversation of let's make these refs full-time. You know, let's drill home that, hey, situational awareness. Yes, we want you to referee the game, but referee, you know, have a bit of brains about you that
they know. Right, they know there's a minute 40 left. They know the situation of the game. Like,
yeah, let's know that there's this is the game done. Like you can't blame the Chiefs for going, you know what? Let's just two downs, take it down to 8 seconds, and give Jalen Hurts one go on slippery turf to throw this.
Well, that's the idea. Like they did everything. The Chiefs did everything.
They did everything right.
Yeah, they did absolutely everything right. They called the right plays. They took the knees when they should have. They took the exact amount of time off the clock they possibly could. So they did. They finished the game perfectly as far as the Chiefs are concerned. It's just unfortunate that the game had to be decided that way.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah. All right, let's get some happier side of the story. Probably not for you, Danny, because it's still talking about the Chiefs because they did get the W. I love the fact that we had two touchdowns scored, and speaking to Andy Reid afterwards, the touchdown, like the plays were called corn dogs.
Oh, the wide open ones?
Both of them wide open. He goes, yeah, the name of the plays is a corn dog. I don't know how they get corn dog, but... I just love that is a name of a play.
Talking like the fake jet action where they go to create movement and then as a snap, they go straight back in the opposite direction.
Straight the other way. Yeah. And they both of them walked in untouched. Yeah. Both opposite sides of the field, Tony but both walked
Tony
in.
Tony and Moore?
Yeah, Sky Moore. The rookie.
Sky Moore. There's Tony, yeah.
Rookie and his first touchdown.
Yeah.
Which is huge.
What
a time. Like, if you're going to get your first touchdown.
First one in the Super Bowl, no worries.
Yeah. But, yeah, that had the Philly's defense was lost a couple of times. Yeah. A couple of times late, like you were watching Philly's defense and, like, big shout out to Reed for the plays that he was calling. His corn dogs.
Because they did that corn dog play on both sides of the field, didn't they?
Exactly. Yeah. And both times Philly's defense was so lost.
Walked in, like, not it could have shuffled.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like,
and as soon as you start seeing plays like that run so perfectly, I was like, uh-oh. So this is not good for Philly.
Yeah. But that's I reckon in a couple of years' time, we'll be looking back. That'll be the Philly special kind of play where, you know, let's run corn dog again, you know.
You'll get the big breakdown about how they develop corn dog, and then you'll see like them training it during the week and stuff like that. And you'll get the like game day footage of Andy Reid be like, all right, we're running corn dog.
We're running corn dog. So hot. There's a few more things that I want to talk about. Our exotic bets, Timmy.
Mm.
We had a whole episode pretty much devoted to these exotic bets. How did we go?
Bonus.
What were some of the ones that were a bit surprising, such as purple rain almost?
I hit zero.
Well done.
A grand total of zero of them. It was bloody purple Gatorade.
Yeah.
So
no one's picking purple.
Was that? Did that even have a market? Does that go underwater?
No, I have listened back and we didn't get a market for purple. So I reckon it must have been other.
It might have been water/other.
Other, yeah, which was like $13 or something like that.
Yeah.
But we all went straight to, it's not going to be water.
Yeah. The national anthem, I didn't jump on it, but I remember talking to you at the time being like, oh, this feels like a bit of a longer one. So I don't know.
Slow one, wasn't it?
Yeah. He had a little bit of a guitar solo in there and stuff. So I don't know if he went overs or unders on that one. And then obviously, we talked about the Rihanna ones. We didn't get anywhere near him. No surprise guests and no... I didn't get the first song. One thing that was funny that you could talk about. Oh, sorry, you could bet on celebrities that were going to be shown in the broadcast.
Oh yeah,
and remember? I think Bradley Cooper popped up. He was the favorite. Yeah, I think he was the only one from that list of favorites. Sort of on the first list, first sheet that popped up there.
One that I was surprised that he's spoken more about afterwards. It was him and his son. He was on the field. He was a Chiefs fan. Oh, God, he's done me. Grouse segue.
What is it, a celebrity?
Yeah. Real funny. I can't even picture any movies that he's in right now. I'll get it and I'll come back to you. But he was on the field and... Oh, fuck, what's his name? Don't worry about it. There's other things that we actually brought up live. So Maxi Rem. Paul Rudd, that's the one. Why was he? He's pretty big. He'd be.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I saw his name on the list.
And I think he's like genuinely Chiefs fan. Like
Chiefs fan.
Cooper's genuinely Phillies fan. Like,
yeah.
I don't understand why he wasn't on the list. Doesn't matter. couple that we brought up live, I brought up about the ball being a kickback, the first ball being returned, because it's, you know, notably a very hard brand new ball, literally straight out of a packet onto the tee, because they want that kicked off, given straight to the Hall of Fame. You know, this is the playoff ball for Chiefs versus Phillies. And I said that, you know, the last eight out of the last 10 or something like that have been returned, because it's a brick. You're kicking a brick and it's hard to get it all the way over the end zone. Kick straight into the end zone.
Straight through the end zone. And like, so, did it easy too.
Yeah, it was nearly over the top. They nearly lost their ball.
And that was the other thing. Maxie, one of the boys who was with us on the day, he was big on the coin toss and whether or not the winner would defer. I don't know if you could bet on that though. You could bet on the result of the toss. But yeah. I'm not sure if we could bet on whether they defer.
He was looking very frantically. Where can I do it? Where can I do it? And he was right. That was the one we would have won.
It would have been paying like $1. They always defer. Yeah,
exactly right.
They
did defer.
Yeah.
He was adamant that they were gonna.
Yeah.
And he was right. So
credit to him.
Yeah. Did you guys hear the story about the final field goal and over the net into a Melbourne man's hands?
Oh, aim on someone?
Yep, sure. Oh, I just knew he was a guy from Melbourne.
I did see the story. Apparently, like, he randomly got a ticket, but he works for... He had some sort of connection with what he does for work. So I don't know if that's how he got his ticket or not or whatever, but, like, the story or the headline that I saw was, like, you know, woke up in Melbourne or woke up in Australia and ended up going to the Super Bowl.
Mm. And I heard, but got a ticket, like, 10 a.m. that morning.
Yeah, crazy story.
And then, yeah, ends up taking home the ball.
Does he get to keep that?
He has the rights to. Yeah, right. I feel like the Chiefs are going to be going, can we have that ball?
Try and track it down, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be stuffing that thing underneath my shirt and trying to run out of the field.
Get out of there.
Yeah. I don't think he ever goes
straight up on the mantelpiece.
It is his to have. Like, all the, I know the Tom Brady balls and that it's, I think it's technically yours to have. You can choose what you want. So you don't even have to walk out with the air. Like, show people probably
won't know that. I think Dan means if someone tries to take it off him.
Yeah. I'd be hiding it from all those angry Chief fans. Yeah. Happy Chief fans. But like, you know, happy angry that you've got the ball.
Yeah. All right. And the last one that I want to bring up, because I feel like it's going to be a little bit controversial and I don't hate it. I might have said it at the time, Timmy, but I'm not 100%. You could definitely win me over, but I'm not 100% sold that Patrick Mahomes was the MVP.
Who did you think?
Hurts.
I did bring up a few times.
No, we did. We talked
Hurts
about it
in a losing.
Like, yeah. Do you give it to a? You don't give it to a losing player. So
no, and especially like I said earlier, like with that fumble, probably eventually costing him the game.
But who are you going to give it to otherwise?
Well, look, I did say
no one. Defense was okay, but no one stood out. And I say defense was okay. They gave up 35 points, but. You know, defense.
This is what we did say, it was going to be a defensive high-scoring game.
Second half, they stepped up, but no individual stood out. Like, you know, Jones wasn't game wrecker, all that sort of stuff. Offense, like Kelsey was good, but like, you know, Tony was serviceable. Like you said, Pacheco was good. Like they were all good, but it was the Mahomes show. Like I can't see it going to anyone else.
I think with what Mahomes did in the second half, like what he only had one pass that wasn't complete.
And then his 26-yard rush.
Yeah, that was a big rush.
26-yard rush on a dodgy ankle, obviously jabbed up to the nines. But that 26-yard rush, like, that saved him in that point. So that if he hadn't done that, then we would have got to the holding call, you know what I mean? It wouldn't have been in that position anyway. So he at least got to that position on the field. And if it wasn't for him doing that, the Chiefs probably wouldn't be in that position anyway.
And I think the story of the ankle factors into it as well. Like you can't.
Yeah, okay.
You know, you can't.
I told you, I can be persuaded. I don't know. He only threw for 160. He did have a few rushing yards, but I just didn't feel like, I don't know.
By all means, it wasn't 100%. His best game ever. No, you're right. It wasn't his best game ever, but I can't see it going to anyone else.
He still managed to lead the offense to that comeback though.
That's right. Yeah.
He was 17 points in the fourth quarter.
That's phenomenal.
I'm starting to talk myself in. The only one, if that fumble that got called back, the catch, they didn't call a catch and they ran it back, the defense. Who was the one who scored the touchdown for the defense? You said
Nick Bolton.
He did it again.
Well,
so
if he got the two, yeah, he could be a smoky, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if they had actually called that second one, then yeah, you've got your argument, but they didn't.
I didn't.
But they didn't.
Yeah. So, the argument's gone. The argument's out the window.
So you honestly think the fact that he had the fumble, which obviously goes against him, but why can't we have a we have it in the AFL all the time? Why can't we have
I don't like it. I just don't like it.
The losing player getting a MVP. Yeah, it'd be shit to go up on the stage when they're getting all the award. Oh, here you go, Jalen. Here's your MVP.
I honestly don't like it.
Yeah, I've had people hit me up separately, like on Twitter and stuff, being like, oh yeah, Hurst is probably the deserving MVP. But even like I'm with Cart. If you haven't won, if you're not taking home the Super Bowl, you're not taking home the trophy, if you're not taking home the hardware, I can't really see you being the most valuable because you didn't lead your team to the victory.
Like I would almost say, like I would almost go as far to say it should be a rule. It has to come from the winning side. Like it's a bit embarrassing, I think, if someone from the losing team wins it. Like you think back to Ablett winning it when he did. Yeah, he kicked 10 and like, you know, quarterback nearly single-handedly won in the game, but they didn't win. Yeah. Find someone. You can find at least one person on the winning side that's had a good enough game to give him MVP, and it will not be controversial.
And it allows like Mahomes to go on the list. Is he one of only three players to win multiple?
Yeah, but are you worried about giving someone something just so they can be on a list?
Oh, I'm not saying that. I wasn't saying that they were giving it to him.
That's exactly what you just said.
I'm just saying a plus, a positive of him getting it is that
that's he's what he, that's able what to he meant. Yeah, that's what you meant.
Yeah. I wasn't saying they gave it to him so he could be on the list. Hey, the NFL come across. The NFL's rigged, but not that rigged.
It is. He was always winning it. We should have known. fair enough. Sorry. Nah, but yeah, I don't know. I knew he was going to get it, and when they announced it, well, we actually didn't know. We were trying to sit there going, have they given it to him?
Like, no, I think I heard it, and you guys were like, what happened? And I was like, he's MVP.
Yeah, we were all too many waters deep.
It was just loud.
So, all right, how many more yards or touchdowns does Kelce need before you're saying he's the MVP? Like, if he gets to 100 yards? Or,
yeah, well, I think at least 100 yards.
Because he was over half of his throwing yards was to Kelce.
Yeah, but, like, probably over 100 and... at least multiple touchdowns. Because again, you got to realize like Mahomes is going to be the one that's throwing him to him. So they'll be like, oh, Mahomes has thrown for this and he's thrown for this many touchdowns. So like he's still going to be in that conversation. So Kelce needs to, like proper ball out. It's going to be hard. Right. It's always hard for it not to be a quarterback.
Yeah, because then it always goes like, oh, well, Mahomes and Kelce have that connection. You know, even if he hits him four touchdowns, like, well, yeah, it's because Mahomes threw it to him so well four times. If he's there's no chance he's getting open four times without perfect passes. So then it goes, well, how does it not go back to Mahomes?
It would be different if, say, it was just a 10-yard pass, but then Kelce's able to make a couple of moves and then turns it into an extended play and he picks up 30 or 40 or something like that. Or, you know,
yards after catch.
Yeah, if he's making impacts that way, then, yeah, definitely the focus shifts to him. But I think just the way that they play, like, yes, Kelce's always free, but then he does get shut down relatively quickly. So, yeah, Mahomes is still going to be at the forefront of that discussion, I reckon.
All right, so Mahomes threw for about 180 in there?
182, I want to say. 182, yeah.
All right, so I know you keep saying that Mahomes is the one who threw it to him, but if Kelce has over 100 yards of the 182, we'll say, is it easier for him to throw 180 or easier for him to get over 100?
No, it's still a huge effort from Kelce, but I just think the way that everyone is not programmed, like not programmed's not the right word, but the way that everyone thinks about it is the focus is on the quarterback.
Yeah.
The quarterback's the one that got it done.
Yeah. The only thing that really got me over the line for saying, all right, no, he probably does deserve it is not that he's not, I don't think he's known for being a game manager as such. Like Tom Brady's, everyone's always said, you know what, year by year he hasn't been, you know, the most touchdowns or the most yards, but he's the best game manager. He will get it to a point where we can take it down to 8 seconds and kick a field goal and win. I reckon Mahomes had his best game management game that I've ever seen him play.
Yeah, agreed.
So that's what kind of, in my head, I went, all right, give it to him.
So when you asked the question, you were just waiting for us to tick that box.
No. It was at the time, I genuinely was like, I'm not sure about this, but You didn't tick that box. Too bad, boys. Better. But yeah, do you think they take that into factor on it? Do you reckon they go, do you know what? He's only thrown for, you know, if he throws for 100 yards but manages the game.
And it might be, I don't know who votes on it. Is it AP again? But say if it's four or five of them, they might be having that discussion. They'd be like, oh, he's only thrown for 182. But like, yeah, but look, you know, what about how he managed the game in that last quarter? Like, they'd be like, oh, yeah, great point.
Yeah, yeah, I think that 25-yard
rush should be a huge part of it.
Makes a massive difference. Like, because he shouldn't be
on that ankle. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he shouldn't even be out there on that ankle, let alone rushing 25 yards. And he was looking to pass. It wasn't like he was looking to rush that whole time. That was a scramble play. He was looking to pass. No one was open. He made the split second decision. He's like, it's on me. So that's him putting the team on his back. That is him being the most valuable player on the field right in that very second. So he's not throwing it out. He's not just like, you know, trying to get it back and trying to take it for like, you know, a fourth and whatever it would have been. He's like, nah, I'm going to run it. And he did. So I reckon just on that alone and his performance in the fourth, chucking up those 17 points, yeah, you got to give it to him.
Yeah. All right, cool. So we'll tick that one on there. That's good. <Yeah. laughs> Nah, that's fair enough. I just wanted to have the discussion and just see what you thought. But you've convinced me. He was very well deserved. So we'll say it again. Well done to Patrick Mahomes the second, I believe.
Yeah, he is.
Everything's Patrick Mahomes 2.
Yeah.
So congratulations to him and the Chiefs. Bad luck, Brenda, Danny. Yes, Brenda, he was a very happy boy, wasn't he?
He was.
For something that was a mistaken buy of a T-shirt to end up being his team.
He's done very well. Two Super Bowl wins in 4 years and another trip where they lost. So he's doing he's doing very well for himself.
He's gone okay.
He's picked an all right team. We have brought up Mama Kelsey a fair bit, but what about Papa Webb? How was he feeling with both his boys being a part of this?
So Papa Webb's not necessarily a big NFL fan, but he messaged me like literally halfway through the first half being like, what a game. What a Super Bowl. He's like, this is incredible. Yeah, I was like, Denny, are you watching it? I knew Papa Webb. Proud of you, Papa.
He's obviously a big AGS fan, I would imagine.
He is. He's a huge supporter of AGS. And like, he's a proud father. And, you know, if we ever do go live in front of a live audience, you know, he'll be there clapping us
on. He's part of the fam. He's on that next tier.
Yeah. Nice. Well done, boys. I reckon that's probably all we needed to, unless you have anything else, any comments or anything about said Super Bowl going forward.
No, I think we ticked off all the right things.
And I think we'll talk about it more in the, you know, when we start previewing next season and stuff like that. But I just still think with everything that Philly did to get there, and what Jalen Hurts did, I think like, there's a lot of promise still behind Philly. And I'm not just saying that as a Philly fan. I just think that as an NFL fan, like Philly fans should be looking forward to the next couple of years and seeing what Hurts can do and what he can turn into.
Are you worried about retirements? Like your offensive line is probably, you know, Kelsey, does he go again?
I think he will because he made it to the bright lights. You want to do that again.
He's still hungry.
Yeah, you like and see what his brother did, you know, he'll want that for himself as well. And then what an incredible family that will be and what a conversation that will be. You know,
if they both win again, that'll be two times each.
Yeah.
So, and he had statistically, I know it's hard to get stats for centers, but he had one of his best years.
Yeah. So I feel like he's still hungry. He'll want to run it back. But yeah, the offensive line is looking like there might be a few retirements, but all I can bank on is give him one more year. Just give it one more year, give it one more crack. You're so close, like a field goal. You're a field goal away.
And that's 100%.
From taking that home.
The first team that's ever scored 35 and lost.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. And as we said before, it was the third highest scoring Super Bowl as it was. Do you know what the other two are, T-Mac?
I saw San Fran versus someone where they won like 45-25 something.
Yeah, so that was the San Diego Chargers. It was 49-26. That was the highest. That was Super Bowl 29.
And the other one I do know,
yeah,
which was Philly beating New England Patriots in 2017.
Correct. Yeah, Super Bowl 52. That was two from two. Good on you. Well, one and a half. You got 49ers.
Happy to give him the points on this one.
You don't give me much. That's huge.
Got to earn it.
Thanks, man.
You got to earn it.
Some housekeeping stuff before we leave. Are we doing a bet this week?
No.
What are we going to bet on?
No. We're licking our wounds.
We gamble responsibly, the same way everyone else should gamble responsibly. We all chuck bets on. We all lost, so we're going to give ourselves a week off.
Having a break.
Okay. Yes. Actually, Maxi won. So well done, Maxi.
Yeah, but like the three of us. the three of us who publicly announced all our bets. We're going to have a week off because, you know, we need to.
Yeah. So in regards to that going forwards, if we make public statements, we should bet on them. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about.
Nope.
Cardi, do you know what I'm talking about? Please. Oh, he's writing in the thing. What are you saying?
I can't remember.
Fair enough. We do have some big names. So I just mentioned earlier the vanilla gorilla, Zach Nielsen. We interviewed him this morning. He was a grouse chat, me and you, Danny. That'll be out early next week. We've also managed to get a few other big names that are coming on early next week as well. So a lot of things in the pipelines. We're not going anywhere. So make sure you stick to all the channels where you find us, the YouTubes. What was that?
Who's clicking?
Sorry. Just non-stop fiddling.
Playing with my thing. Sorry. All right, let's wrap it up. I'll get the thing out. I'll wrap it up. Well done, boys. We've got through another episode.
A sweaty episode.
It's hot in the kitchen.
Yeah. 40 degrees down where you are, is it?
It's hot. Northerly. Yeah.
So when you tell your friends, your family, tell your weatherman, you know, tell him to pick his game up, just bring it down a few notches just so we can sit here comfortably.
Maybe not.
Give us a 5-star rating, leave a review, set your little bell so you know, especially on YouTube when we are on. Find us on all the socials, AGSAU Podcast on Twitter, which we are very active. Make sure you connect with us, get around the boys. We'll get back to you. Instagram is anygivensunday.au, TikTok, Facebook, Dabble, YouTube, Any Given Sunday Australia. Well done, boys.
Beautiful. You got through. Beautiful. Well done.
We got through. And as always, leading up into this next draft, go the Packers.
You can have this one.
Yeah.